We're going to be looking this morning at what is called the blessing. And this has just meant a lot to me over the last several years. In fact, decades of my life. Many of you know this man whom I'm going to put up here on the screen. How many of you who know that is? Leonard Nimoy. How many of you are Trekkie fans? Okay. I was never much of a Trekkie fan. I did watch the Star Trek movies, but as far as watching the series Star Trek on television, I did not do that. But in an interview in the Washington Post just before he died, Leonard Nimoy was sharing about that trademark signature that he's showing up there, Live Long and Prosper. And he was telling about how his dad had taken him to a service called the Shekinah service. And towards the end of the service, the rabbis were going to give the blessing and the benediction. And he said to Leonard, his son, he says, "Now, whatever you do, don't peek, because the light of God's presence, you know, may in many ways be dangerous to you." And he did peek. And he noticed that what the rabbis were doing was they were giving this sign that he is showing there up on the screen. And years later, when of course he was hired for the Star Trek series and he became Dr. Spock, he said to the producers, I need to turn down just a hair, it's sort of ringing up here. He said to the producers, wouldn't it be neat if we had a trademark signature that identified all Vulcans? And so he remembered that sign through which God peeked through the window and gave his blessing. And that became the trademark signature. Now, believe it or not, I cannot make that. It's actually supposed to be in the Hebrew letter Shin. And the letter Shin is the word Shaddai, Shalom, Shekinah, the SH sound in the Hebrew alphabet. And my kids can make that sign. I was over here at elementary school. I was working with my little boy for Kids Hope. And I said something to him, and he said, "Oh, yeah, I can do it." He plopped it up there, and I said, "Well, I can't do it. I just can't do it." And he says, "Well, here's how you do it." He took my finger and he bent it over here and he says, "Now just hold it there." And it came back like this. And he says, "Well, lay it down like this." And he separated it like this and it came back. And I said, "I just can't do it." And there was another mentor working with her little boy, and her little boy just stuck up the trademark signature, and she couldn't do it either. So I felt a little bit better at that. But how many of you this morning can actually make that? You can do that. You can do that. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I really take a recourse this morning and comfort in this one fact. If you know anything about the Hebrew alphabet, you'll know that that really doesn't look like the Hebrew letter Shin. This looks more like the Hebrew letter Shin. Because it actually has three, okay? And so I'm more biblical. You may be Trekkies, but I'm more biblical this morning, okay, in regards to giving that trademark signature. But we're going to talk about the blessing today. And we're going to go back to the Aaronic blessing, the priestly blessing, which is very simply this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And I like that last phrase, because in giving this benediction, and benediction actually means the good word, in giving this good word to the people, he was putting the name of Jehovah God upon the people of Israel and helping them to identify with who they were as a called out, chosen generation of people. Back in 1978, there were some archaeologists, and they were doing some digs south of Jerusalem, just outside the city walls, the old city walls of Jerusalem, in the Valley of Hinnom. And they came across this ancient burial site, and there they discovered some little, a little bitty piece of rolled up silver about the size of a credit card. And they took that, and of course, in their digs, they have to preserve all that, and then someone who knows what they're doing is able to take that. And what they did, they unrolled that little piece of silver paper the size of a credit card, and on it were these words, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Now, it may have been a memory verse that they had had. I like to think that in those days, the children of Israel, the Jewish people and the priests, would oftentimes wear what was called the tefillin, little leather boxes. They would wear them on their foreheads or on the back of their wrist, and in it there would be biblical verses. And so whether or not this was like an amulet or a Bible verse that they memorized, I know that some of you, when you memorize scriptures, you write it on 3x5s. I always wrote mine on the size of a credit card. And I carried it around in a little bitty plastic wallet, and it was just enough to be able to tuck away. But on it was these words, "The Lord bless you and keep you," this wonderful blessing of God. So what does that mean? Well, when we think about blessings, I think about those Celtic blessings. And I've always been really fond of the Celtic blessings that come from that time in life. Here's one, for instance: "May the road rise up to meet you, May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. I love that. Big hands, Harold Hell. You know, great hands. And then here's another one. May God give you for every storm a rainbow, for every tear a smile, for every care a promise and a blessing in each trial. For every problem life sends, a faithful friend to share. For every sigh, a sweet song and an answer for each prayer. Those are really special blessings. Here's one that some of you will like. May you be in heaven 30 minutes before the devil knows you're dead, okay? And that's one of those that has been around for a while, but the blessings of God that come our way. Let's set the context for this, because it was actually given to Moses to give to Aaron by God. The people of Israel are in the wilderness when this is given, but remember that for 400 years they were in slavery to Egypt. There arose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. They enslaved them and made them, you know, work underneath the tiredness of the master's whip. And we find that Moses was told by God at the burning bush, I want you to go back to Egypt. And I want you to stand before Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. Pharaoh would not let the people go. So God began to send these 10 plagues, and after the 10th plague, Pharaoh finally said, you can leave. Pharaoh didn't like that, however. He reconsidered. He chased after the people of Israel. And we all know the story of the parting of the Red Sea. As the sea was parted, they walked across on dry land, and the Egyptian army, of course, was eventually destroyed in that coming back together of the waters. For the next year, they basically camped at a place at the base of Mount Sinai. And there at Mount Sinai, we know that they built the golden calf. They sinned against God. But Moses went up to the top of Sinai, and there he encountered the presence of God, who gave him the Ten Commandments. And Moses came back down. They spent about a year at Mount Sinai, and after a year, God gave them marching orders to continue on toward the promised land. For 40 years, they would wander around in the wilderness, but with the marching orders, you know, tucked in the midst of all those commands, was this blessing from God. This blessing of God, the Lord bless you and keep you. This good word, and that's what benediction means. It means the good word. So Moses is telling Aaron, when you bless the people, this is how you are to bless them. So let's look at this blessing, and let's pull it apart, if you will. First of all, he says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And we have to ask what a blessing is, but the word bless means to kneel or to delight in somebody. When you go back to the book of Genesis, God does what in the first three chapters? He creates this world. He creates the sun, moon, and stars. I mean, he's indescribable. He plants all these in space. He creates the animals and creates human beings. But he stepped back after he created it all, and he says, you know what? It is good. And it says he blessed them. In other words, he was delighted in them. He was delighted in what he had created. He was pleased with it. Later on, we find a great example of this, because in the custom of the people of Israel, a father would bless their children, their sons. And there's two concepts of a blessing. You would have the experience of touch, and you'd also have the spoken word. And so the father would place his hands upon the son, and he would speak these words, and he would utter the blessing. And so what we would be saying was, the father would be saying to the son, may God cause you to prosper. And we're not merely talking about material prosperity. I think the health and wealth movement has done a great disservice to the kingdom of God, because we think about big homes and houses and cars and watches, but it's a spiritual blessing as well. God the Father blesses us in the heavenly places. But he says, may God truly reach out, and may he be delighted in you, and may he favor you. May he cause you to succeed in whatever you venture in his plan. May you walk in his purpose. And they not only spoke the words, friends, in today's world we say what? I'm spending my child's inheritance, right? But in that day, they not only spoke the blessing, but they gave the child, they gave the son part of the inheritance, part of the proceeds to help them to become started. And so the father would say, basically, may the Lord be pleased with you. May the Lord be delighted in you. May the Lord truly favor you. And then may the Lord keep you. And the word keep means to guard. There's another cognate to the word, which means a thorn. And so what we find in those days, when we had shepherds, and those shepherds would go out into the fields, and they would tend their sheep, and at night they would bring them back, and they would place them in like sheep corrals or sheep pens. And many of those pens were made out of huge boulders. Some of them, however, were made out of thorny bushes. It's to keep the ravenous wolves out from invading the wolves. And so they would be sheltered in the midst of those thorny bushes, and the shepherd would actually lay at the doorway of the sheep. That's why Jesus says he's the doorway. He's the gate. But when you go to Scripture, what do you find? You find that Hosea, you know, he had a promiscuous wife who broke his heart. It's actually a symbol of Israel and God. And there were men who were trying to take advantage of her, and he actually prays that there be a hedge of thorns about her to shield her and protect her. When the adversary comes before God in heaven, and he says, you know what, God, I bet you $1 million that Job would betray you and deny you and walk away from you if you didn't have this hedge around him. And so God had a hedge of thorns about him, this kind of protection. I think about another man. His name is Patrick. And we call him St. Patrick. You know St. Patty's Day, when you find those four-leaf clovers and you stick them on your lapels and you wear green, like Judy's wearing this morning, you know, St. Patrick's Day. But St. Patrick was born in Britain to wealthy parents. The Roman legions were actually in Britain at that time protecting Britain because it was part of the empire. But in 400 AD, a lot of the barbaric horde were sweeping down across the borders, and they were encroaching upon Rome, and so Rome withdrew their troops to come back to Rome to guard the city, and it left Britain exposed. And Britain being exposed, there were all sorts of bandits and marauders who came in and who pillaged the nation and took young children captive. Among them was Patrick. He was eventually sold to the Druids, who were a bunch of pagan individuals and tribes who practiced human sacrifices. And this Druid chieftain made Patrick a shepherd. And so for many years, Patrick herded the sheep of this Druid chieftain. And one day out on the hillsides, he heard the voice of God, just like Moses did. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and he became a new believer. And he was able to escape from that Druid chieftain. He made his way back to Britain, where he became a missionary, and then went to the country of Ireland to tell people about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wrote what was called the Breastplate Prayer. I love this prayer. I mean, I have read it, I have prayed it, I have put it on my walls, I have put it on my computer screens at times. But a portion of this prayer says very simply this: I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from snares of devils, from temptation of vices, from everyone who shall wish me ill afar and anear. And this whole prayer is dealing with the God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and how he works in our life and how we are to please him. May God be seen in me. I mean, a tremendous prayer. If you've never read it, I would encourage you to go on your computer or go to the library and get a copy of it. It's called the Dear Prayer, the Breastplate Prayer, and actually read that. But here is God. You know, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord delight in you. And may he grant you everything that you need to become a success in life and to fulfill his plan and purpose for your life. And may he protect you with his loving arms. May he put that thorny hedge about you and keep you from all ills, from all harm, from all snares, from all temptations. So this first verse actually deals with God the Father, okay? It's 3, 5, and 7. It ever expands. Notice the second one. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And this verse, in many ways, relates to God the Son. So we have God the Father and then God the Son. And it says, Lord, make his face to shine upon you. This would have actually shocked the people of Israel because they were not used to saying, may God's face shine upon you. Now, our face says a lot about us. This morning, you can see my face and I can see your face, okay? And we have faces that are mad, sad, glad, happy, confused, disappointed. You know, we all have all sorts of faces. If you look on a person's face, the wrinkles tell a lot about a person's life. Wrinkles in their foreheads, wrinkles on their cheek. Whether they've had a hard life, an easy life, maybe they've grown up in the cold weather. You can tell a lot about looking in a person's face. How do you look at God's face today? And how is God looking at you? Is God frowning at you? Is God smiling at you? I pray this morning that God is smiling with you and he's delighting upon you because God wants his face to shine upon you. May God's face shine upon you in all ways. Again, this would have been a shock to the people of Israel. Why? Because Adam and Eve had the presence of God, and they always had the presence of God. But in the Garden of Eden, they sinned. And sin and holiness cannot dwell together. And so God, in many ways, withdrew his presence, or not his presence, but his face from them. And from then on, they were not allowed to see the face of God. The face of God talks about a personal, intimate relationship. When Moses went up to the top of Sinai, he said, God, show me your face. And God says, you cannot look upon my face and live. Again, sin and holiness cannot dwell together. But we find what happens when Jesus Christ comes. We find that God's face shines upon us because, as I've said before, Jesus is the face of God. Jesus shows me what God is like and how God interacts with humanity. He invites me into that personal relationship, that intimate relationship with Him through the cross of Christ, which is an act of grace. He's gracious to us. Some months ago, and I think I have the story right, and if I don't, well, you'll never know. But anyway, my three-year-old grandson, Katie's and Greg's little boy, Will, they were trying to put him into bed one night, and he didn't want to go to bed. You've had those right stories, kids, grandkids who don't want to go to bed, and they put him in bed, and it was dark, and they said, now, Will said Jesus is with you, and he said very bluntly, but I don't see him. I don't see him, you know? I think about another four-year-old, it was a thunderstorm, and what happens in thunderstorms when you have small kids in the house? They run to the parents' bed, right? And the lightning was flashing, the thunder was clapping, and this little four-year-old went running to her parents' bedroom and snuggled in the covers underneath between mom and dad. And her dad says, well, honey, he said, you don't have to worry because the Lord will protect you. And she says, I know that, Daddy, but I want someone with skin on, you know? I want someone with skin on. I mean, God, you know, Jesus Christ put skin on. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and his truth, his grace and his truth. And so he went to the cross of Calvary. Our lives were such a mess that we could not commune with God. We couldn't develop that intimate relationship with God. But Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary did what? He straightened out the mess. He forgave us of our sin. He provided a way by which we could come before him. And God reveals his face to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And so this, in many ways, speaks about Jesus. He comes and he embraces us, and he's the spoken word. He's the living, visible word of God. And then the last one is seven words, 3, 5, and 7. And this relates to God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And when I think about this countenance, the countenance is what? I think about how it is when many times when a mother is pregnant with child, what is it that is oftentimes said about her face? They say what? It glows, right? It glows. There's a certain countenance about that. And so when we talk about a countenance, we're talking about the Lord's glow and his presence and his Spirit just come down upon you. And I want to take that one step further, because what happened with Moses? When he was on top of Sinai and he came down from the mount, it says in the book of Corinthians that the people could not dare look at Moses' face because the glory and the countenance of God was so bright that he had to put a veil over his face so that the people could talk with him. So here's the conclusion that I draw from that. Jesus, during the Last Supper, shared with his disciples, and he says, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. But he said, in the meantime, when I go away, you're not going to be left alone. You're not going to be orphans. I'm going to send my Spirit to dwell within you. And so now we have the Holy Spirit coming to dwell within us. We have the presence of God, the intimate relationship with God coming within us. And friends, I like to say this, and I like to begin my days like this by saying, Lord Jesus, may today people see Jesus in me. And so when the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within my heart, you know, I'm praying that somehow the Spirit of God gets out. The Spirit of God comes up off my face, and that people see Jesus in me. Amen. Isn't that your prayer? May people see Jesus in each and every one of us, because that's how we impact the world, when people look at us and they know that Jesus has made a difference in our life. And so may God's approval and smile be upon you, but may people see God, see Jesus in you. And then he says, and give you peace. And it's the word shalom. Shalom, the shin, okay? The letter shin, shalom, Shaddai. May that peace of God, completeness, may you be complete. May you be whole. May you truly know what it means to have God in you and be at peace with him, with others, and with yourself. May you truly be blessed. And so when I look at this blessing of God, I look at it and I say, you know what? What is God saying to us? He's saying, may the Lord favor you. May the Lord so delight in you that he give you everything that you need as his child to fulfill his purpose for your life. May you know what it means to know that you're his child and that everything that he has belongs to you, and that you can go before the Father in heaven by prayer, and that he will meet that need. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, but may he protect you, may he put that thorn around you to keep you safe from the snares. May you be delivered from all temptation, but may his face shine upon you. May you walk in that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. May you know him in a deep, deep way. And may you know what it means to experience his grace, which is sufficient for every need of your heart and life. And may the Spirit of God so fill you that wherever you walk, the Spirit of God is just oozing out. The presence of God is just oozing out. People are just seeing Jesus in you all over the place because you know what it means to walk in peace. And may that peace of God that passes all understanding make you well, make you complete, make you whole, give you purpose, and hold you forever. This is not just merely an objective blessing. You know what God wants us to understand is that everything that he has is ours. And he wants us to know what it means to walk with him daily. He wants us to feast on his presence, to feast upon his word, to feast upon his promises, not just limp by. And so when Moses said to Aaron, I want you to give this good word to them, it was a good word. They were walking in the midst of the wilderness, going from day to day. And here they found out that God was supplying their needs. He supplied them with manna. He supplied them with water. Their soles of their feet never wore out. I mean, God blessed them. And so that's my prayer for you. That's the good word I have for you this morning, that the Lord would bless you and keep you. And that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And that the Lord would lift up his countenance upon you. That the mighty presence and glow of God would just come over you. And you would always be at peace in him. What a good word. Amen. I want you to read that blessing. I want you to meditate on that blessing. I want you to pray that blessing. I would encourage you to go back and get St. Patrick's breastplate prayer and read through that as well, because it explains the Trinity to us. But I'll guarantee you, if you do that next week, you'll be coming in here walking and leaping and praising God, and we won't be able to contain ourselves, you know? And we were coming together to celebrate Mother's Day. Now let's pray. Precious Lord and God, we thank you and we praise you that you have blessed us in the heavenly places. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank you today that you have poured out your Spirit upon us. I pray that we might understand that as children of God, that you embrace us and you speak to us the words of life. And I pray that you draw us close and hold us forever in the big, big palms of your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.